Welcome to the 2024 Virtual Region Convention and our keynote session. Our speaker this session is Kata Oh. Welcome, Kata.
Okay, good night, everybody. Hello, I am Catalina. My nickname is Kata, and I am very thankful for this opportunity to give service today. Today, I want to share with you what God and my higher power, that doesn't have to be God, but I call him God. But I also have many other sources of higher power thanks to this program. And I want to share this especially to newcomers. I am a compulsive overeater and I came to OA in 2016. Before coming to OA, I didn't want to live. My life was way too chaotic and sad. And I had a lot of anger and I didn't even know it. The only way I could define or express what my life was before OA is saying death. I was dead and I wanted to live, but I didn't have the strength or the tools or the knowledge. I didn't have what I needed to live. And despite I tried many times, I tried to find reasons to leave, of course, but I was never able to find them before coming to OA. So I started OA when I was around 30. I was about to turn 30. And before this program, I want to first talk about how I was before the program and how things are now after having worked on the 12 steps and having worked on this program with OA. I grew up in South America and I grew up with my parents and with two brothers. Since I was very little, around my 7 years old, I started to realize that people was expecting me to look a certain way, although at that time I didn't feel the need to compare myself with other people or the need to look different. But I grew up in a city that is very beautiful, filled with love and nice people, but also with a culture that demands women to look a certain way or expects women to look a specific way. And this is something that my mom told me, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who were also alive back then. So after turning 7, I started to compare my body to the body of other people, and also listen in my house, people saying, Catalina should lose weight, Catalina is fat, Catalina is eating too much. I don't know why she doesn't eat this type of food, or why did she eat? Why didn't she eat? So what I ate was everybody's business. And I didn't understand that obsession because I could see that other families just accepted people as they were, and food was the least important thing. But in my family, it was extremely important. And it was a representation of the family, how I looked. And it was a cultural aspect as well, as I mentioned. And at first, I tried not to pay attention to this. But when I became a teenager, that's when I started noticing that everything that I had heard before when I was growing up, when I was a child, had already become a reality in my mind. And sadly, I couldn't have not a single moment of peace. In my mind, I was constantly comparing myself to other people. It doesn't matter where I was, just any place, person, doesn't matter. I was always comparing and thinking that the other people were better and that the other houses were better, just everything. I started feeling that everybody was better than me. And it was a torture to live this way, to not be able to live in a city, in a world where there is diversity, where there is a lot, and that's beautiful. But I learned to not appreciate that diversity. I learned to compare myself to that and to try to find what's wrong in myself, what's bad about me. And I was very obsessed with my body. Up to a point that since I was little, I started to hide my arms, and my arms were amazing, of course. And I thank God for my arms because I've held so many things. I've gave service with my arms. I mean, my arms help me every single day to take care of myself, to take care of others, to take care of my brothers as well. So I know I've had a huge impact on other people's lives, and I've practically raised children. So my arms are a blessing, and I know that. But in my head, I would always think that my arms were wrong. I would always hide them. I would always wear a sweater. And even though I grew up in a city that was pretty warm and the weather was pretty hot, I was always wearing like a jacket or a sweater, something so I could hide my arms and my body. I started hiding the rest of my body later on, but I started with my arms. That was the first part of my body that I decided not to show, to cover up. And that's how my arms started to disappear in some way in my head because I was covering them up and I could feel my body disappearing and I could feel my life becoming smaller and smaller. And my life became so small that I started to think that I wasn't even alive. People would look at me smiling and doing everything I could, of course, to pretend I was alive and okay. But on the inside, I was extremely sad. I was very hurt seeing my parents suffer through many illnesses. My family went through a lot of pain, and I experimented that with them. So I started to think that if I were thin, I would be able to live. So this idea came up. And to be completely honest, as a child, I was a child moderate weight. I mean, my weight was moderate. I wasn't super thin, but I wasn't obese or fat. I was like regular. But to my family's eyes, I have always been fat and obese, actually. And my mother, my grandmother have also seen themselves that way. Even when they were thin, they still thought that they were fat. So it's a mentality issue. And I thought, okay, my family want me to look a specific way. I want to make them happy because I want them to love me and I want to live. So in order to live and in order to make friends, to have a partner, to get married, even to find a job, I thought I need to be thin. I need to be thin. I need to be thin. This is the only thing that is gonna save me and help me. So at 15, I started getting liposuctions in my body. And I also learned, I sadly learned not to eat, how now to, not to eat. And many times I would skip lunch, breakfast, and my aunts and other people in my family would tell me, "Why haven't you eaten? It's 6 p.m." Or they would, well, people started to notice that I had a relationship that was not very common with food, but none of them knew it was a disease. They didn't know what it was to eat compulsively. Of course, we didn't know anything about the 12 steps. So it was very difficult because we didn't have any type of medicine, this. And when I talk about medicine, I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about a spiritual medicine. And I had my first lipo, and then I started to work out. And the first day or the first days I started to work out, I went with my mother. And when I was with her, in all of the session we were doing spinning, she told me many times that we were being selfish and that we didn't deserve to be there. And all of the time, I felt very guilty. After that, all of that was getting into my head. And even though my mom might have done a small comment, my head had become huge. And I started thinking I was selfish. I couldn't believe I was taking care of myself in that way when there are so many people outside that don't even have food. And I started worrying about everybody outside. And that's when I was completely dead inside because I didn't exist anymore. My needs didn't exist. My feelings didn't exist. Every time they tried to come up, I would not eat or eat too much because I have both sides of this disease. I can not eat anything, or I can also, that is basically because I don't want to feel things, right? Because I'm focusing on the hunger instead of thinking about other feelings that could be anger or sadness. And I also have this other side where I would overeat and I could eat a lot and up to the point where I feel so full that I had to purge myself, or so full that I felt sick, or I felt extremely bad. So I have those both sides of the disease in that aspect. And because I didn't change my eating habits and I didn't work out anymore, I started to gain weight, of course, because I kept on having the same lifestyle that I had before my first lipo. Then I got another one because I gained weight, and so on until I was 19. And I decided to say death because if I could show you a picture of the before and after, I want you to imagine this. A picture where I was sitting in a bed with tubes on my mouth, on my nose, into my arms, into my hands, with my eyes closed. I couldn't even eat. I couldn't do anything because I died. I literally died during my last surgery, my lipo, when I was 19. And I was in a coma for 2 weeks. And during those 2 weeks, I was told that I was going to have mental problems, that I might not be able to walk or talk again. And because of the help of my higher power, I came back and I recovered and I came back to life. But how powerful is this disease? It actually killed me. It's not that it can kill me, it already did. And if I don't carry on with my treatment, with this progress, it's going to kill me again, because every day I wake up, doesn't matter if I attended meetings or if I had worked the 12 steps or give service, the moment I wake up, my disease is immediately there. It wakes up with me. So I had to go through the same process again. So I came to OA many years after suffering from this disease. I would say that after 10 years of my lipo, the one where I died, and in a couple of years, I reached a point where I had su suicidal thoughts. And my life was lovely. Yes, I have a husband. He's amazing. I lived in a beautiful part of the city. I had a car. I had everything I wanted. I was even doing degree and master's degree at school, so my work life seemed to be perfect. But on the inside, I didn't want to keep on living. And one day I went to a meeting, and in that meeting, that's where I found my sponsor, and she told me, well, it was just a regular meeting. Each person was just sharing their ideas, their thoughts. And what I heard that she had that I didn't was that she learned to want to live. She had learned how to want to live. And I knew nothing about her. That was the first time I saw her. And I got next to her and I told her, could you please be my sponsor? Because I don't want to live. And I want to have this desire to live. I want to feel that again. So I didn't even remember how that felt. And after many years, and after all of the work that I have done in the program, my higher power has been so loving and nice to me. And now I feel I have a beautiful life and I can enjoy it and live it. I don't feel a prisoner of my disease. I feel free. I feel happy. My thoughts are positive. If I go out to the streets and I go to work out, I am happy. It's not that I am thinking, oh my God, this woman is better than me, or she's thinner than me, or she's richer than me. I'm not comparing myself constantly like I used to do before. And you cannot imagine the freedom that I feel now. And not to feel this jealousy or resentment, being able to get rid of that has made me feel so free that I wish all of you can experience this. All of the people who are in the meeting, who are not in the meeting. And now I started to like myself, actually. I feel I'm starting to find out how to love myself because I am capable of loving myself. But I know I will never be able to love myself as much as the higher power loves me. But I am very thankful because I have such a close relationship with my higher power. So, how is life, right? When you have this feeling, when you recover this feeling of wanting to wake up every day, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And that's what I want everybody to feel. Before, I would wake up and I didn't want to get out of bed. I couldn't even open the windows. I didn't want to take a shower. My head was just the moment, not even when I opened my eyes, before opening my eyes, my head was already going on, like thinking so many things about all of the negative stuff. It was anxiety, fears, the future, the past, everything but the present. The present didn't exist. And that's something that I have learned in OA because death to me means to live in the past or to live in the future. And now that I am alive, I live in the present. And it's very easy to die every day when I start thinking about fear, about sadness, about anxiety, or about problems that life could bring. But thanks to my higher power and thanks to my prayers and thanks to the program, I am always back to the center, back to the present where I can live and where I can be aware. The present is beautiful. And many times I was very scared of being in the present because I didn't want to look at my body. I didn't want to see what I have done because, of course, I made so many mistakes. We all make mistakes, of course. And I was attacking myself. I was very cruel to myself because of the mistakes I've made. So, another way I experience the living and dying, which is actually what I want this to be about, is it's not just about the anxiety and the fear. The present is way too beautiful, like I said before. And after being able to be in the present, you realize that reality is not as scary as your mind and your body feel. And right now, I have inner peace. I have a type of inner peace that I wouldn't change for anything in the world. I have so much freedom. I appreciate what I have. Instead of thinking about what I don't have or what other people have, I focus on myself. And that's what I would want for all of you. And I ask my higher power to help us all in this journey so we can live again and we can enjoy this beautiful life. There's so many things to be grateful for. Sometimes I'm even amazed because in my head, I have thoughts that I have never had before OA, or not that I could think about now, like thoughts about I like my life or I'm proud of myself. In the past, I never ever told myself those things. I would always think, poor me, because I had this type of childhood, because I had these parents, or because I didn't have this. And when you compare yourself to other people, and the big book from AA says, a way of dying is comparing yourself. So this is another way in which I came back to life without even doing it by myself, because I honestly don't know when I started getting this desire to live. I remember when I would ask my sponsor, please help me. I want to die. Please, the only thing I want is for you to help me to get my desire to live again. And I wouldn't even care if I had lost weight, gained weight, if I was like the perfect person in the program. I didn't care about being loved or not in the program. I just heard when she was speaking, the only thing I could hear was that statement that she made about her depression and how she overcame that with the program. and that now she really wants to live and that she loves living. And I could see that. I could see how she was enjoying life. That meeting, she was smiling, she was talking to some people, to other, doing this, doing that. She was giving service. She was so lively. She wasn't in the future or in the past. She wasn't feeling, oh, poor me. No, she was in the present, 100%. And I was, wow, is that even possible? Wow, I wanted that. So I started talking to her and I started doing the things that she did to find recovery. And if there is somebody here today who is new in the program, I want you to know that what I'm sharing is because of you. It's because I want you to listen and to hear that there is a solution, and this solution is in the higher power and the steps. And your head is going to want to fight with you and will tell you, will try to trick you and to tell you, oh no, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do what this person does. Or no, I mean, if I can be honest, when I joined OA, that's what I thought. And actually, the first 2 years, I wasn't sure if that was for me, if I should keep on going to the meetings, because I really don't have this. I'm not like that. I don't have this type of habit. But after so many years, but after working on the fourth step and the 10th step, I learned how to see so many things of myself, and I still have a lot of program to receive and to do. So I'm ready. I'm ready for that. And if I am not ready, I ask God to give me the will to be ready, and I keep on going. When you get to the program, try to have at least 6 meetings and pay attention to what you hear, what you listen there, because you might think, oh, this is something that I thought. Oh, this is something that I did. And try to find the things that you see in yourself too. And that's all. I wish you could live and be free and healthy. And okay, I'm finished. Okay, questions. I lost 37 pounds since I started with the program in OA. And I started to see a difference in my food habits when I started working with external help. I had always thought that I knew what I'm doing. Oh, I know what is healthy. I know what it's not. I know how I have to eat. But my problems with the food are not just based on knowing or not knowing. They are based on behaviors. And thanks to the higher power and the program, I felt motivated to look for this external help and to be open to receive the help from a doctor, nutritionist, dietitian, or any type of professional or help that you might need outside of the program to carry on, to continue with your recovery. Doesn't matter if it's about depression or any type of problem that you are experiencing. So I think the most important thing is to keep on working in the program. Especially, I know that if you focus on the weight, you are going to get lost. But if you focus on the program, and you work on the steps and you read the books and you attend meetings and give service, that's when you start losing weight. So I would say I lost my weight not because of what I eat, but because of the behavior I had and the approach I had that is not focused on how much I weighed, it's focused on the program and the tools. Pasó el tiempo, gracias. Gracias a ti. Próxima pregunta. ¿Cómo ha cambiado tu práctica espiritual en la recuperación? Well, I am a person that is very obsessive by default. So when I started working on this, when I came to OA, I was very sick and I didn't have any medication, spiritually speaking, didn't have a higher power. I didn't have anything of that, no tool whatsoever. So the way that changed is that before I would make things too complicated. I would think, okay, I have to meditate 30 minutes, an hour. And when I write to God, it's not going to be 5 minutes, it's going to be an entire book until my hand hurts, basically. So the program has helped me to realize and to be less compulsive in other aspects and areas of my life. So by recovering here, all of the other things improved as well. So I wake up in the morning now, and a few days ago, I asked my husband to join with me in meditation and prayer, and that's something new, and I loved doing that with him. But before that, I would wake up, I just pray for a couple of minutes, and then I set the timer for 10 minutes, and I use that time to be silent with God. And then I set the timer for another 5 minutes. And in those 5 minutes, sometimes I kneel down and pray. Other times I just lay in bed and talk to God. Thank you.
Thank you so much.